Good evening. It's good to have everyone back tonight. We're going to begin in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 through 18. The title of the lesson is Confidence in the Day of Judgment. Many Christians don't believe they're saved, and many don't believe they can have confidence when Jesus comes again. Truly, it will be scary, but it shouldn't be for the Christian. In 1 John chapter 4, we'll begin in the middle of verse 16. Why love indeed? I mean, why go ahead and practice love? Middle of 16. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him, the one who loves. I mean, he let the love of God that caused him to send his son to die on the cross for people who are totally undeserving. If that love abides in us, then we abide in God and God abides in us. There's a oneness there. And the benefits of that, verse 17, by this the love of God is perfected with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. I mean, God is slick. He's way ahead of man. And built into this system that most people don't want anything to do with is just unbelievable answers to the inner problems. The day of judgment, being able to have confidence. I mean, looking back at the past and knowing your failures. But yet, if the love of God abides in you, that's the goal of God. For the love of God to abide in us so that on the day of judgment we'll have confidence. That's what the whole purpose of getting people to give up self so that they won't be afraid when judgment comes. In the verse 17, because as he is, so also are we in this world. God is love. So the more that you become self-sacrificing, more thoughtful of other people to a greater degree, you and God are living, existing together. There's a oneness there now. And so when Jesus comes, what? The body's going to be stripped away and the oneness will be actually experienced in a greater degree. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. I mean, the love of God within your heart, its benefit is to cast out fear of God. Just to tell you, you and God are one. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. If we're afraid of God, the solution is to get away from self. It is to become unselfish and let God work. And the fears leave. You know, there's answers to all that. And it's to be, you get, you know, psychologists, you know, people have great problems, they go to him and he lets them talk to him for a year, takes their money for a year, and finally he's fed up listening to him. Because you know who it's all about? Them. And woe is me, and oh, how many people mistreated me. And you know what he finally tells them? If you'll get up and go do something for somebody else, you'll feel better. He could have told them on day one, because that was the root problem. Well, perfect love casts out fear. It removes the torment or the fear of God. There's no barriers between you and God because God's at work in you. You know, you look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 through 29, and there's another way that you can have confidence before God. Verse 27, and it's for you, the anointment which you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. The Christian has an anointing called the truth. There's no lie in it. It's absolute. And you know what? The one thing it says, abide in Jesus. Don't stray from Jesus. And you'll escape the judgment. Verse 28, and now, little children, abide in him. So that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. There's a way. I mean, if there's no love of God there, there's no desire to do what's right, I mean, when Jesus appears, I mean, all of a sudden he's visible, he's there. There's going to be plenty of people shrinking. They're going to be separating themselves from God. It's going to be decided, it's going to be decided in a blink of an eye. Everybody's going to know which side everybody's on. It says in verse 28, now little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. Verse 29, if you know that he's righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Love in your heart, doing the right thing. If you know God's righteous, then you do. And you find yourself doing righteous things. Where did it come from? It means you're an offspring of God, what it means. If you know God's righteous, you have a foundation to which to perceive who you are. That you're a child of God because you're doing righteousness. You know, you look over at Matthew chapter 5, and I thought in the Sermon on the Mount is an expression of all this. And Jesus is talking to his disciples, and these multitudes are standing around listening. He's not talking to them, he's talking to his people, the people that follow him. And he's talking about the kingdom of heaven that's to come. I mean, within 3.5 years, it will be in existence. All that plan that God had before the world began will now be in existence. He knows that. They don't know that. John the Baptist came, said, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus came, said, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I believe it's at hand. You better get prepared. We're going to the cross, and then we're going to Pentecost. And so, who's going to benefit? Who's going to grasp what Jesus is up to? Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's for the poor in spirit. The haughty, the proudful, they're never going to get it. I come for the humble, the people that have a need and know they have a need. And we're going to fulfill their need. Remember Jesus? Remember Peter when Matthew 19? When the rich young ruler walked away because he couldn't give up all, couldn't sell all his possessions to get eternal life. And then Peter wants to know who can be saved then. If a rich man can't be saved, nobody can be saved. Well, the poor in spirit, they have opportunity. Because they're the only ones going to be listening, truly listening with a good heart. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I mean, the people have been beat upon. Remember Luke 18? This woman comes to the judge, and he don't fear God. He don't care about man. And she needs justice from the judge. And she keeps persisting and finally gives in to her because she's going to beat him to death with her request. That was the sign of the times. Nobody cared about the poor people, the hurting people. They weren't doing justice. They were taking advantage of them. So there were plenty of people mourning. Well, those people, they're going to find comfort. Hold your place and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. And the truth about God, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I mean, God's willing to show mercy. God wants the comfort to hurt me. Verse 4. Who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. God wants to comfort people so that they can help other people when they need comforting. So in the first century, who's going to benefit? We know from 1 John that those who love God, those who practice righteousness, they're not going to shrink away in judgment. They're going to have confidence. Well, who's going to enter this kingdom? Verse 5. Matthew 5:5, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. And everybody butchers the Sermon on the Mount. If you look at Psalms 37 is a great psalm about why you shouldn't fret and why you shouldn't worry and all that. But he says, blessed are the gentle or the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. He didn't say heaven. He's talking about the kingdom coming and the events that will go along with that. In Psalms 37, verse 7 through 11, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Don't worry about the wicked. I mean, they're being abused in this time frame. You just rest in the Lord. You wait patiently for him. He will settle it. We're not talking about end of time. We're talking about stepping in and settling things now. This always happened in the Old Testament, New Testament. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, for it leads only to evil doing. Don't get caught on the wrong side of evil doing right now. You need to give up your anger and your wrath, and you need to quit fretting, because it's going to lead you to doing something evil. You need to give it up. Verse 9, for the evildoers will be cut off. But those who wait for the Lord, they'll inherit the land. When God comes in local judgment and he wipes out a lot of people, you can farm whatever 1,000 acres you want, because there'll be plenty of it around. That's the point here. I mean, not only are we talking about the kingdom of heaven coming, once Pentecost happens, you now have two kingdoms of God. You have a spiritual kingdom of God, and you got a physical kingdom of God called Israel. How do you get rid of a physical kingdom of God? In 40 years, there won't be one stone left upon another, Jesus said. And that happened exactly in AD 70. In Matthew 5, 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. There are answers to people's problems. I mean, in a land, the judgment's coming upon it. The nation of Israel, there are people hungering and thirsting for righteousness. It bothers them when people do things that hurt other people. And they would want to live in a world where you had the absence of that. Well, that's what the book of Revelation is about. So if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you'll find satisfaction. You'll find peace. But we're going to change all that. And that's bad when you see your world today going off in deep things that happened in the 20s, the roaring 20s. And it took about 20 years to get back to some sort of economic level where people could make a base and make progress. We changed the attitudes. We sent them into World War II after Depression. All those guys coming back that survived, they were more God-centered, which affected the country for another almost 20 years. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. I mean, if you don't have the right attitude to other people, if you don't have compassion or kindness or a tender heart, you're going to be hard-hearted. You won't care. And then God won't care about you either when judgment comes. The merciful, though, they get a break when a local judgment comes. They don't get what they deserve. Verse 8, blessed is the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I mean, somehow, everybody comes to the Bible, and you got all these different religions out here. And they're just going to keep growing, because why? People aren't looking at the Bible with a pure heart. You can make it mean anything you want. You can take a position on it. Somebody asked me about once saved, always a saved the other night, Thursday night Bible class. You know. And it showed them one verse. It's over. And I told them, if them people won't accept this verse, it's over. You need to shut up and go on, because you are never going to convince them that that's not right. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. God's not selfish. He's not jealous. You know, there's a justice. There's a fairness. There's a right and wrong. There's a consideration of other people. There's a seeing things as they are. Like the people that put Jesus to death on the cross. He says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He didn't let what they did to him on the cross cloud his view of what needed to be done for them. There's a pureness of heart in God and Jesus. And more you and I remove the obstacles from our heart, the more we can see God. And therefore we have more assurance. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. We don't need any more chaos or fighting. Religious crusades, or the Muslim crusade, those are the bloodiest wars there ever were. there's no mercy in religious wars. I mean, their God is nothing but vengeance. Their law are eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and there's no settlement between the Palestinians and the Israelis. Verse 10, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Nobody knows what's coming here. He's trying to tell his disciples, and there's people listening who have various degrees of interest, the multitudes. But he's talking about the kingdom of heaven coming and people entering it. People who are listening, who are living at that time. And on Pentecost, we're going to spring the benefits. We're going to accuse them of killing the Son of God. We're going to prosecute them here today with a fisherman named Peter in Acts chapter 2. And how some of those people believed is almost a miracle. 3,000 out of no telling how many people were there. Stop the sermon and ask, what shall we do? There were some people hungering and searching for righteousness who knew they were guilty, were seeking mercy. And they stopped the sermon. And he said, repent. Let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Everything changed that day. The covenants changed. The people of God have changed. There is now a new group of people with forgiveness and possessing the Holy Spirit to give them power to overcome. Everything changed. And we're going after Jerusalem. Oh, Peter, second in Acts chapter 3. Look at that. Acts chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. The second sermon preached, Peter announces it. Acts chapter 3, verse 22. And Moses said, the Lord God shall raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. To him you shall give heed in everything he says to you. Moses said, there's going to be a prophet like me going to be raised up, and you need to listen to everything he says, referring to Jesus. Well, what does that mean? Verse 23. And it shall be that every soul that does not heed that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. And that's exactly what happened. Oh, Matthew 24, talking about destruction of Jerusalem. He said, when you see, you know, this desolation spoken of Daniel, you need to flee the mountains. You need to get out of here. It's not the end of time. That was 40 years away. But God knew that. And now you have this physical kingdom and a spiritual kingdom, and there's only going to be one. And you and I are part of that kingdom. Righteousness means something to us. I mean, there's people in the first century being persecuted for being righteous. Now, righteousness is worth a lot when Jesus comes, because it means you're going to have confidence. If you find yourself wanting to run, that's a bad sign. It's too late, too. But having the love of God within your heart, oh, there's so much room to grow in that area, in all of us. It's only going to give you confidence. Because that's not you. That's you and God together now. Trying to be useful. Trying to help somebody be saved. And then the Lord comes all of a sudden. I wonder how many people in hell will say, I wish I'd been like such Christian. We used to think it was useless and they were foolish for doing that. And you know what? Most people really believe that the Bible's true. They just don't want to get too close, because it might get them. But you know, you've got to become poor in spirit to benefit. You've got to humble yourself to see it. Now, there are ways. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. The book of 1 John is written so that you can know that you have eternal life. That's what's in the book. How you know you have it right now. And they're in the middle of a trial where people are saying they're wrong. And many people are saying they're wrong. And John says, guess what? You listen to me, you can know you have eternal life in the middle of that. And when Jesus comes, you're not going to shrink. Because you practice righteousness, you've got the love of God within your heart right now. You and Him are equal now. If you need to respond anyway, won't you come as we stand and sing?